Blog Talk Radio.
And listen, thanks for stopping in and checking out our friends here. We've been waiting for you to pull in. It's the end of the week. Here we are at the Frat House Sports Garage. We're going to keep the lights on. You brought the pizza, I hope. We've got plenty of beers.
There's a bag of pine salt, an air freshener.
We are looking forward to chatting all kinds of motorsports with you this evening. If you had the opportunity, and I hope you did, maybe you did not, to find us last evening on our flagship program, Frat House Sports Show, and that was a big one, and you're going to want to, I'm just saying, you may want to go ahead and give that a listen here on Blog Talk Radio. We did cover some of the ground we're going to cover tonight. Clearly, from a NASCAR standpoint, the Daytona wreck from last week ago, Austin Dillon up into the fence, boy, that got all the attention. But that got all the attention for all the wrong reasons from people that don't follow the sport. And we're going to delve into some of that this evening. If you like maybe some of the other sports, maybe you follow NHRA, well, that's fine. We've got that on the menu tonight. Absolutely, yeah, grab a chair right there behind the door. Pull it up, yeah, pull it up. And I'll tell you what I'll do. Yeah, we'll pop one open for you. It is Friday evening. Hey, maybe you want to talk a little Supermoto. How about that Ryan Villopota? Huh? What happened with him? Oh, some guy up and retired. He's only the champion of Supermoto. Well-known in America, but maybe not well-known by all of you out in the audience. Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about him this evening. And, of course, if you are a NASCAR gearhead, we all tend to be here on the panel. Well, down in Kentucky, my goodness gracious, almighty sakes alive, there is nothing going on down in Kentucky right now, unfortunately, but a lot of Kentucky rain. Yeah. Oh, you feeling it? I'm feeling it. It's making me want to wave a... Oh, I don't know. Well, I can't wave that flag anymore. No. Yeah, we're searching for it. And in fact, that cold Kentucky rain is falling all over everything down there. It's an absolute mess. So we're going to chat about that. There's a new aero package, in fact, that was going to kick up this week. It's going to happen irrespective. And we're looking forward to chatting about what we can expect to see, what we can expect to hear. I believe on the line I might have my very good friend, Sidekick. Sidekick has checked in with us. Good lordy, lordy, might have saved my life.
Ooh, that's rough. That's not Sidekick.
No, that couldn't have been.
That's
that
not Sidekick.
No, good. that sounded more like Austin.
Oh, dear.
That sounded more like Austin Dillon sliding across the roof of his car. Are you with a Sidekick? Do you have a copy? How about Brandon? Brandon, maybe?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, R2, can you take a look at that flux capacitor, R2? I think we got some noise on the line.
Good Lord almighty, thanks a lot.
Hey, so you're talking about this new aero package down there in Kentucky this week. You know what it is? We're going motorboating.
Yeah, I think we must
That's
be.
That's what we're doing. That's what the new aero package is. They're putting skis on the front.
Yeah, buddy, I think you're right. That's what we're going to have to do. We got to get an outboard motor. I mean, absolutely nothing is going on down there in Kentucky thus far. I was chatting with Frat House Mike earlier, and we were laughing about it. Over the last 3 years, Kentucky really has been Kentucky rain keeps falling down. I mean, it goes right to the sound clip, because I remember in 2012, 2013, 2014, and here we are in 2015, we can't seem to get around this venue. Now, Brandon, you and I were chatting that, in fact, this is not, I mean, Kentucky was not given a Sprint Cup date. It's been around for a while, but they were a long time waiting to get Kentucky on the Sprint Cup circuit, no?
Yeah. SMI Speedway Motorsports was fighting with NASCAR for several years. I'm almost thinking it might have been upwards of 10 years that they were fighting over getting a cup date. And they had several truck races and like Xfinity, whatever the class was at the time,
prior to
actually being a cup race. It's relatively new. I think we said it was like there was only four of them.
Right. Yeah. At this point, what we do know is that Brad Keselowski has managed in just a four-year experience at the cup level to garner himself two wins. We have seen Matt Kenseth and Kyle Busch for Joe Gibbs Racing each capture the checkers. And that's essentially the experience we have, again, to Brandon's point that, you know, we go backwards and we want to look at the history of the track, because, in fact, the history of the track does show, pardon the pun, a better track record in terms of Camping World Truck has run there, and certainly Xfinity, what we knew as Nationwide Series, they had both run there. But, gentlemen, here's what we'll do to kick it up. Obviously, we all have friends. All of us have friends.
In low places.
Well, yeah. And I'm probably one. I'm probably both of your number one friend in a low place. But, correct, there are friends of ours in our circle who follow sports that we do, but they don't follow NASCAR, and they consider it to be cheap, stupid entertainment, but not really a sport. And in fact, if we all got together and started chatting on, you know, Monday, back to work, more like Tuesday for most folks, here's what we talked about. Oh, my goodness, did you see that wreck? Oh, my God, that wreck at Daytona, that was spectacular. And that's pretty much how you thumbnail NASCAR to the average person that doesn't follow the sport. But in fact, that race was altogether different. And I guess I'll open it with a series of observations, and I'll ask your opinion. Going into that race, that sprint race at Daytona, you know, first of all, I was able stay up and watch it, even though it was delayed 3 hours of rain. Okay. Now, part of the reason, obviously, was because I felt the race before, the week prior at Sonoma, you know, that was like one of two or maybe three all year that NASCAR put on where I, as a fan, I could put the fan hat on, and I really sort of got what I expected. I mean, we had good competition. They were banging their doors. They were trading paint. Of course, it's not paint. You know, we know they wrap the cars nowadays, but they were, you know, swapping each other. They were diving into corners. They were running two and three wide on track surfaces designed maybe for, you know, wide enough for one or two cars. And, you know, I looked forward to this being a restrictor plate track as a rare sort of second in a row event from NASCAR that would offer anything but routine, boring, follow the leader, because that's become the new normal at these cookie cutter mile and a halves. And, you know, I suppose I was looking forward to and maybe hoping for a couple of NASCAR races in as many weeks that would really be compelling, not only because they were at completely different track types. You know, you got the road course at Sonoma followed by this super speedway, but because they would be, I don't know, memorable, you know, beyond Tuesday. So I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, and we'll come back to this going forward. You know, is there anyone out there in our audience or on my panel, 347-826-9964, pick up the phone and give me a call. Have you seen two or three races in a row thus far this year that were really worth remembering, that you sit back and say, oh no, hey, listen, Uncle Billy, you got it completely wrong. I'll tell you what, you can hit them off. Boom, boom, boom. These three were great. Because I'll be honest, I sat all week preparing for the show wondering, have we seen anything of that nature? Now, I can name a couple, but they're certainly not two or three in a row. Of course, I stayed up. I did watch. And a great deal of my influence was, well, Uncle Mark, you know what? You do run the show. You probably ought to, you know, you owe it to your listeners. You owe it to the people to sit up and watch this so that we could actually talk about it. But otherwise, I don't know. You know, the other thing was, and I guess second to it, was, hey, I wanted to see what NBC was going to do. What are they bringing? What are they offering? Can they enhance the coverage? Because honestly, some of the earlier races this year were flat out boring. And I don't think it would have mattered even a little bit if, let's say, in another world, we had Fox and NBC swapping weekly the broadcast. Oh, this week is Fox, next week's NBC. Because, quite frankly, if the racing sucks, I don't think there's any TV coverage that could make it better. So there's top.
NBC, you know, NBC did pull out all the stops. Because you know somebody was sitting in that control room going, it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Ain't nobody watching this race. Let's give them something to talk about. Hey, Joey, hit that button over there, the one that launches the three car up in the air
and plays
the traffic into a catch.
Yeah, right.
That'll get the ratings.
Yeah, well, that got ratings.
It got
mad YouTube hits. You know, here's the problem. I mean, if you're going to go for the collusion angle, and I kind of espouse to that psychic. So, you know, but I mean, well, then I'll tell you what. Do that with 40 to go. Don't do that on the shootout. And that's essentially what it came down to. And it goes back to what I say, I guess, with Monday morning. And Tuesday morning, around the coffee pot, at the workplace, we're talking about things. What happened? Oh, my goodness, did you see? And the average NASCAR non-follower is saying, oh, yeah, ha-ha, wow, did you see that? That's what those guys do. That's all they're about. They don't. You know, but I'll tell you what. I'll take it even a step further. I guess the third reason why I actually stayed up to watch it was because, you know what, NASCAR actually tweaked the schedule this year compared to last year. And what they did was, unlike last year, they went from Sonoma to the cookie cutter mile and a half Kentucky. And then they went to the unpredictable Daytona. But this year they swapped it. And that kind of gave me a little hope, especially since we've seen how boring the racing has been. I'm saying, wow, that's great. We got a road course. Now we're going to a super speedway. Ooh, ooh. Now all at once, see, there's a good chance we're going to see two first-time winners in as many weeks on different, completely different style tracks. We saw Kyle, right? Kyle Busch coming back a long way from, we didn't know he'd walk again. Here he goes. He wins at the racetrack in Sonoma. Oh, now we're going to Daytona. Well, last week ago at, you know, Fantasy Time, You said it, Sidekick. Throw darts on a dartboard, man. This could be anybody's race. And it has given us Daytona so many, who was that? You know, I say in quotes, who was that? Winners over the years. So, you know, it seemed like for all of those reasons, and of course my ability, my, I guess, luxury, I'll call it, luxury to be able to sit up while most of the East Coast snoozed, while it went green at 11 p.m., I was able to stay up. So, you know, guys, what's the flip side? Well, the flip side is pretty much what Frat House Mike shared with us last night ago on the Frat House Sports Show, and what he told me as we sat up, as the clock ticked away into Monday morning, how thoroughly disgusted he was. And I tended to agree, call me a fraud, but I tended to agree at that time with the decision by NASCAR to sanction and run the race at that point to an empty house, quote, fans, unquote, be damned. I mean, is that where we're going with the sport? I mean, really, we don't care if they're there, right? Is that where it's going? We'll run it to an empty house. Who cares? Everybody's getting paid, you know? Track got their money. NBC's getting theirs. Yeah, they're tired. They're bored. Yeah, it's a brand-new contract. $4.4 billion. Hey, listen, money's being made. Sponsors are getting happy. Concessions were sold. Hey, we'll just pack the fans into the remaining area and make sure we just train those cameras on that area. Was there a point to really making this happen on Sunday night? We couldn't have gone to Monday? I throw it out there. That's, I guess, my first question.
Yeah, I would think they should have waited. I think starting a race that late on the East Coast, you know, it's just, as you pointed out, it's an inconvenience to all the fans there, the fans on who want to watch it on TV. I mean, me being a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan, you know, yeah, I watched the thing on DVR the next day, but, you know, there's no suspense. I already know who won. You know, it's like, unless you can actually watch it live, you know, all the thrill's gone, you know, except for, you know, obviously the Austin Dillon thing was kind of overshadowed the victor, who, no matter who won at that point. But, yeah, I think that NASCAR was probably thinking they backed themselves in a corner by announcing a new rules package at Kentucky, granting them an extra practice day, which they didn't even get because it's raining in Kentucky. And, you know, they knew they were, you know, if they had to go into Monday, that the teams would be in a bind. And they didn't want to, you know, I guess they didn't want to push that issue. I can't imagine the teams made it home, you know, any earlier than they would have, or much earlier than they would have had they, you know, ran it on Monday morning. So I don't really get it.
Well, the thing is, you couldn't have run it Monday morning because you had the drivers and the crew up till midnight.
Yeah.
You would have had to have waited. Now, I don't know what the weather forecast was in Daytona for Monday, but, you know, earliest you're talking about a 1 p.m. race, and then you're talking about, now, I don't know if the teams were taking their Daytona cars to Kentucky or not. You know, the Kentucky cars were probably already en route to
Kentucky.
Well,
actually, a lot of those teams, Sidekick, don't have two haulers. So they got to take the hauler back to the shop,
okay,
unload the Daytona cars and put the Kentucky cars on it and enroll. Some of them have multiples, but not, you know, not right. Every team out there is, you know, like Rick Hendrick.
Or Tony Stewart that can just leave a hauler at a track,
yeah, right,
and say, we don't need it. We'll come back for that.
But, right. You know, that's my point. I think some of the smaller teams were probably
absolutely. Yeah, they would be. You know, because some of them teams don't have a whole ton of cars either. It's not like they've got, you know. But, you know, here's an interesting thing that I picked up on Monday morning as I sat down in my boxers and, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, woke up Mrs. Sidekick's mom, you know, how you doing Monday morning? And she flips on the Today Show. When was the last time that you can recall Matt Lauer talking about NASCAR. But yet,
well, it's incongruous. That
or
would be,
unless
to
they
me,
had
like,
one on,
you know, Walter Cronkite talking about Gumby.
Right, but
it's incongruous.
Now, you know, the Today Show, it's NBC, who now has the broadcast rights for NASCAR for the rest of the season. Here's Matt Lauer Monday morning talking about the big Austin Dillon wreck at Daytona just 6 hours earlier. So apparently, you know, NASCAR or NBC at least jumped on it to say, hey, you know, now, you know, it's ours to broadcast now, so we're going to full court press this thing.
Yeah,
you know,
acknowledge.
You know,
okay.
So now, you know, you got Matt Lauer now on the Today Show talking about NASCAR and this, that, you know. So they at least seized on the opportunity that they had to say, hey, look, we can make all sorts of news out of this now, you know. I'm just I was surprised they didn't have those two drunk wenches that they have on in the morning that are drinking their wine talking about it. Oh, look at the pretty cars.
Yeah, right. I like that car because I like
wine.
Their colors. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, so irrespective. And of course, I guess you know, we're going to embrace it that way because it's already happened. And we, you know, regardless of what we think, NASCAR put on the show. The show went on. I guess there were some ratings from viewers in the middle and left coast. So they got whatever. And in fact, I read multiple accounts. I don't know if either of you could, you know, attest to it as well. But I read multiple accounts where, boy, oh boy, NBC's coverage was actually good. This I'll say. I'll give them a tip of the hat that, yeah, we were probably a little stale with the Fox coverage. We'd had it for 19, 18 events. We know what DW is. I get the sentiment. We're going to, you know, oh boy, we're sending him off. We're, you know, up in our anchor and we're sending off Larry Mack. And he's off to greener pastures. Don't worry, folks. He's sticking around at Fox. But he's going on to do something else. Who knows? And let's be honest, the Mikey Gridwalk shtick is retarded. So I was, you know, I'll give them their props. Camera angles were better. We did see some different views. We had a few different takes. Okay, I'll give it to them. But I'm hardly going to sit back and say, boy, NBC, wow, they really won up to Fox. I'm not so sure. And I think the jury's out as we go to NBC Sports Net. Okay, another hard-to-find channel for folks that, you know, are stuck with cable and have to go searching or buying, that they're going to be, oh, that's our salvation. Let's shift it over. The big one. And, of course, that's what Matt Lauer wanted to bring us, right? Matt Lauer, obviously, yeah, host network. We host the thing, and we're going to give you, we won't just give you the big one, folks, like everybody else does in 30 seconds. We'll give you 45 or 50 seconds to tell you that we broadcast the whole thing, too. Woohoo! So, the big one.
Well,
Austin Dillon. Go ahead,
hey,
Brandon. Go ahead.
I have a little tidbit here for you on the whole broadcasting thing. Believe it or not, I just looked something up. This race, even ran when it ran, was up 13% from the same race last year on TNT. So
it rained last year, didn't it rain last year?
No, I think it was the year before in 2013. It was rain delayed and ran on Sunday, but last year it ran on Saturday night.
We're talking, yeah, okay, yeah,
in July.
We're talking the 43 car won after a rain delay and.
Oh yeah, it was shortened. That's true. But I don't think there was any delay in this. I think it started on time, and then it was rained. But I just find it interesting that a race that started at 11 p.m. actually was 13% higher in ratings than, you know, the previous year.
Yeah, well, that could listen, you know, I'm just going to play devil's advocate, but that goes to explain why, you know, NASCAR refuses and has now for 2 or 3 years to tell us what, you know, attendance and that kind of thing was at the event, because It kind of proves what our guest last week, Chuck Ellison, had to say from Save Stock Car Racing. This is a made-for-television event. And if there's a problem with the television, then it's not made. And if there's a problem with the event and people can't attend, but the television is good, then it's going to be made for television. I appreciate that, though. You know, I'm not trying to diminish what you brought there. So
No. I just was pointing it out because it actually surprised me.
Yeah, well, it actually surprises me as well.
Yeah, but remember, it was also on terrible NASCAR television.
Yeah, and it was on NBC broadcast, which is going to get you higher ratings. Fox saw a huge decrease in some of the first races they ran on FS1 this year. I mean, they were talking like they were down 50% from the same race the year before, just because of the channel change.
Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, Fox this year has sucked.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, they got locked into their big, long daddy contract now, and they're just sitting back,
rolling
into cash, and they've taken over.
They've become terrible NASCAR television,
I was just going to say that.
Sorry.
We thought the same thing. I was just going to say that. They are the TNT.
KFC commercials and all.
Oh, my God.
Stupid Colonel. I'm so sick of that Colonel.
I'd like to
blow him. He
kind of
makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like some kind of pervert sitting there hawking chicken.
No. You got that wrong. That was Subway. That's Jared.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a whole different issue.
Yeah.
We should ask Carl about that.
Yeah, right.
That Subway thing working out. Anyway.
Well, look, here. I mean, the big one was the thing, right? That's what everybody talks about. The big one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, now you've both seen it since probably multiple times. I know I have. I saw it live. You probably, neither of you did. But, in fact, we've all seen it for what it was. Austin Dillon airborne from the inside lane of three wide. All right. We're during the final lap of a GWC. Absolutely spectacular wreck. Steaming pile is all that remained of the number three Childress car. Umpteen other vehicles are wrecked, mangled, spun, crushed. Now, who rushes out first? Geico and Farmer crews run out to Dillon's first aid. That's the 13 car and the 5 car. I believe I was saying it was the 88 crew. That is not true, folks. It actually was the 13 and 5 car crews that were nearest, and they ran out first. What happens? This guy emerges from an upside-down remnant of a cockpit. He waves to the crowd, and he walks under his own power to the ambulance for a ride to the infield care center. Now, on the downside for NASCAR, I guess, if there is a downside, and this is where I'm going to go with this, okay, fans evidently were impacted. Yes, the fence did its job. Make no mistake, the fence stopped the carnage. Oh, but yes, we had 13 fans involved in debris. I'm trying to think what the military term is, you know.
Shrapnel.
Eight refused treatment, 5 received treatment and evaluation at the infield care center. 1 was then reported to go to the hospital. It was reported
that was the one with the Confederate flag.
Probably was. Reported that individual was released several hours later. So we know the immediate fallout from this event. The hue and cry became, as always, polar. On one hand, we heard, oh my goodness, plate racing, restrictor plate racing. This should be completely rethought, completely redesigned. On the other hand, we heard, oh, my goodness, restrictor plate racing. It should be mothballed. This is way too dangerous. It's unnecessary to the sport. Well, okay, guys, you go first, and I'll give my thoughts after. Tell me what you think about...
You're an idiot!
Hello?
Wait, sorry. Say it one more time. I got distracted by the sound bite.
Tell me what you think. Is restrictor plate racing something to be mothballed, or should we redesign and rethink and retool and dumb it down? Which way do we go? It's either this way or that way. Don't you get it? This is America. So I want your thoughts on it because I have a thought on it.
You know, if America had their way, we'd be racing around in big bubbles. You know, it's like this, you know, you go to the bowling alley. What do we do for the kids now? We put the rails in the gutters. You know, heaven forbid that ball goes in the gutter, little Joey. You know, I want to see monumentous wrecks. You know, I mean, come on now. This is getting too much. There's nothing broke. You know, this happens. You got cars going at 200 miles an hour. You're bound to get one wrecked, you know, get one tipped, and it's going to go up in the air. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Larry McReynolds wrote a piece up that he put on the internet, I forget which website it was on. I think it may have been NASCAR.
Oh, you know it was Fox, dude. You know it was Fox.
Fox Sports, yeah.
Or was
yeah,
it? Oh, yeah,
know.
There it is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But, you know, where he says, you know, don't reinvent the catch fence. Don't reinvent the race car. You know, if you sit down with a logical brain and you technically analyze this and you look at physics and everything else, it's going to happen. It's a risky sport. You're driving in these cars that put out huge amounts of horsepower. You know, and it's a double-edged sword because, you know, we've talked a couple times this season about downforce and how, hey, you know, why is there so much downforce? Why do we need all this downforce on the cars? You know, it takes away from some of the skill of the drivers. Well, the reason we have all the downforce is to make the cars handle a little bit better and to keep them from flying up in the air. You know, so, okay, we'll reduce the downforce. But now when the cars go up in the air because we reduce the downforce, now everybody's going to be crying, oh, you're not safe. You know, Ryan Newman will be out there on his soapbox whining, you know. Time to change his diaper. Oh, NASCAR doesn't pay attention to safety. You reduce the downforce like we asked you to do, and now the cars get airborne. You're not safe. Shut up. You know?
Well, I kind of agree with a lot of what you said, Sidekick, but the one thing I will kind of disagree with is I don't agree with NASCAR's decision. You got 43 guys running at 200 miles an hour, 6 inches apart, at almost 3 in the morning after they've been up for how many hours? Aren't any of their reflexes partially dulled a little bit? The decision to do the green-white checker was one they really need to rethink. We don't need to do these two-lap dashes at restricted plate tracks. Let's get it straight. The cars don't even get up to speed for a lap and a half. It takes them that long just to get wound up. So why do they bother doing this? They're asking for this, essentially. And the only other thing I'd like to add to the whole wreck thing, the one thing I found the most astonishing or surprising was when you watched the replay, how sudden of a stop that three car went. It went from going 100 and whatever, 80, 90 miles an hour to zero in like nothing. I mean, it hit that fence pole and stopped. I mean, talk about a sudden stop. That part of it was astounding to me. You know, so besides, you know, like I said, besides the decision to do a green-white checkered that late into a night, I mean, yeah, we can question whether they should have started it or not started it at all. But to make a decision like that late, I just don't know that I, you know, think that was necessarily the smartest call. But, you know.
All right, real good.
We all saw the results.
Yep, real good. And I'm going to come down actually in agreement with part of what I heard from both of you. But this is what I will say to tie the bow on it. And this is my take. Because I would agree with Larry Mack that restrictor plate racing is not broken, so don't fix it. And I absolutely agree with Brandon that a GWC at this track type is stupid. It is probably on point, and most especially in this occasion, because it was running so late on the East Coast. Hey, GWC, man, let's get this thing done. The bottom line is, in restrictor plate racing, almost unlike any other racing style that we have, when you're running flat out and you have given as a pilot, as a driver, all control to the vehicle, the last measure of control belongs to the pilot. And if we are going to continue to see wrecks, that goes to the drivers. I'm not going to be one that's going to sit on NASCAR's side, but in this argument, I'm actually taking NASCAR's side. It is not their fault that Austin Dillon went into the catch fence, but it is to their credit that the catch fence worked. It is to their credit that the dynamic was already anticipated for such a wreck, and it is to their credit that engineering of the model of car involved in such a wreck preserved the life of that pilot who walked away. So I'm actually, surprisingly maybe to both of you, I will come down on NASCAR's side in this. And I, for one, am going to go forward saying restrictor plate racing is some of the best racing we see every year, bar none. Even with, and I'm not saying even because of, and I'm not saying that it never should have happened that, but even including the fatalities that occurred at such tracks, the only other style of racing that we all agree is always compelling are road courses. Now, where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us with short track. Oh, old-timers like that. Oh, we can't attract new fans with short tracks. Or mile and a halves. And I'll tell you what, wake me up when it's over. That's my take. Anybody out there have an opinion, give us a call. 347-826-9964. We're going to briefly touch on, because we want to chat a little Kentucky before we bring Frat House Mike in and talk NHRA. We're going to jump over the pit wall briefly and share a few things. In the actual race, hey, there's Earnhardt Jr. Hard to take anything away from Earnhardt Jr., Brandon. The guy runs a restrictor plate track. Was he shaken? Yeah. Were most drivers that they spoke to immediately following, did we hear a lot of that? Yeah, absolutely. Nobody wants to see the wreck of the magnitude that we saw, but I'll tell you what, I don't think you heard anybody, including Earnhardt Jr., as shook as he was, say, oh, this racing has to, we can't do this like this anymore. He won the pole, and he went pole to flipping pole. I mean, holy crow, nice job by Jr. It certainly might be shaping up, Brandon, to be his year. What do you think?
Well, possibly. I mean, you know, he's always been good at these restrictor plate tracks. He's had a lot of wins at Daytona and Talladega, and even the fellow competitors, because I found interesting listening to the post-race interviews, they were all giving him props, saying, yeah, okay, all four of those Hendrick cars were good, but you put Junior in one of them, forget it. Nobody's touching him because he's just that good at the restrictor plate.
Man
so,
crush.
Well, hey, you can
okay.
play the man crush
that's
all
a,
you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
his
all right.
Stats
yeah, I got
prove it. I mean, he's
yep.
good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad was good. I mean, a lot of the running joke with Senior at Daytona and Talladega was he could see the air, you know, because he knew right where to put the car to get the best draft bump. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, he learned a couple things. Maybe Dale Senior shared stuff with Junior that he just didn't share with anybody else. I don't know, but he's certainly good at it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Hendrick,
you know, I hope
Hendrick,
it's his year. I'd love
Hendrick,
to see him win a championship.
the Hendrick guys absolutely dominated here too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, holy crow, at one point, you know, we've got Johnson, we've got Kane, we've got Gordon, we've got Junior, they're all up front.
At one point,
I'm trying to think who was the fifth car. It was a Childress, yeah, or well, not Childress. Pardon me, it was a
Benny
Hamlin
car.
Yeah,
or
We had an SHR car in there in the top five at one point around lap 65. I mean, it was like, holy crow, the Chevys just dominate at that track, or at least this year they did. You know, the call is, hey, dial back all horsepower. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Do we reinvent the wheel? Is that what we're going to do? I mean, you can get a car airborne at 180 miles an hour. So, I mean,
cars
is dialing back? How much?
We've seen cars flip at Bristol.
Exactly.
Anyway.
When are we going to Goodyear? When do we talk to Goodyear about the bad year? Anybody want to comment on that?
I don't know that there was any tire issues involved with this or not. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that, but I don't think they need to reinvent it. I think they just need to be smarter with a few things like green-white checkers at restrictor plates, and especially at 3 a.m. You know, that, you know, there's just some decisions that I question. I don't think they should fix it. I agree with you. It's one of some of the best racing you see. It's exciting. It's, you know, there's people passing each other on every lap. Sometimes multiple times in a lap. So, you know, you don't get that kind of thing at other tracks. So I don't want to see it go away. I just,
nope.
You know,
yep.
I'd like to see them tweak it a little. And Frat House Mike actually messaged over to us that someone put forth a proposal to not do green-white checkers at restrictor plates. I'm all for that. I like that idea.
Yeah, well, I read that myself, and I thought that was a very sound idea, because I think once you take green-white checker out of the hands of NASCAR as an option, and once the drivers start to realize that, in fact, they control their own fate and the fate of those they compete with and consider part of their, quote, family, well, then things change. I read an interesting statistic. At Talladega in 2001, after the death of Dale Earnhardt Sr., we'll say, Dale Earnhardt, we should be able to know him as, not Sr., the Talladega race ran with no caution flags. Can you imagine? There were no caution flags because everyone following his demise, all of the drivers, and they weren't called pilots then, although they were, all of the drivers, while competitive, and it was a outstanding race and a very good finish, all of the drivers were mindful that, oh, I not only have my own life in my hands, I've got the life of other people in my hands. And I don't know, we were doing GWCs for a finish at that time, but we'll see.
No, we were not.
Right. All right, let's kick it up to Kentucky. It has rained and rained and rained, and that is where we are supposed to go this week. I'm going to throw this one out to you. Brandon, you and I chatted a while ago. Sidekick, did you know Kentucky Speedway is the only track where Jeff Gordon has yet to visit Victory Lane in a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series?
Yes, I did.
That is, I mean, boy, oh boy, that's remarkable by itself, dude. Does that put him in the Hall of Fame? I would think so. Even if he doesn't get the win.
Oh, he's
There's
going.
There's the conspiracy of the week when he wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true that.
Yeah,
visit. Gordon,
go ahead, guys, visit that.
Gordon's going in the Hall. I mean, there's no. Yeah, there's no two ways about it. With the career that he's had, he's going in.
Yeah, he's what, four-time champion, I think he is. Maybe. Yeah, anybody with that kind of numbers, he's a lock. And he's like, I believe he's in the top three or four all time to win. So, you know, I'm pretty sure he's actually above Dale Sr., Dale Earnhardt. He has passed him. And he may have even passed Darrell Waltrip. So, yeah, he's probably in the top three all-time of wins, so I don't think there's much question as to the HOF for him, for sure.
Well, let me ask you this now. We're going to try the new package. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say, you know what? Nobody's had a chance to test this package. We're changing everything in sort of, you know, horses in midstream. Actually, you know what? I hope they get this race in. I kind of like the fact that everybody's green alike going into a race tomorrow night at Kentucky, assume we go, because I don't think anybody's had enough chance to test this package. What's your take on it?
Well, I do. Go ahead, Psychic. Go ahead.
That some of the teams have had a chance to test.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's, you know, the Brent and I were actually talking about this pre-show. Where,
you're talking,
you know,
April when they ran the test in April?
You know, there was probably like 10 teams that got to run it. But the reason that they gave the extra day this week that was washed out was so that all the other teams would get an opportunity, especially like the smaller teams, would get an opportunity to go out there and run and practice and get some data. You know, because that's one of the things about running a new package at Kentucky. First of all, we've only got 4 years of stats at Kentucky.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Well, at this level,
so,
right.
So, you know, the notebook,
I mean, it's a 10-year-old track, so it's not as though Kentucky's
right.
brand new, right.
Exactly. But, you know, at the Sprint Cup level, the crew chief's notebook at Kentucky is a little thinner than, say, a Daytona, a Talladega, Sonoma, Loudon, you know, some of these other courses. And now you're going to throw in the mix, and we're going to start this new package at Kentucky where we've already, you know, where we don't have a whole lot of experience to begin with. So, you know, so it's not like they have, you know, not everybody has. And I'm sure the bigger teams are sharing their notebooks with their teammates, and the Hendricks are probably sharing it with the Stewart Haases and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Go
ahead, Branson.
I think where they blew this in the first place was they were originally planning on rolling this out at the Charlotte All-Star Race. That's what they should have done, because talk about having a notebook. They've been going to Charlotte for years, decades, and it's more or less considered the home track to most teams because it's so close in proximity to all the race shops. So, you know, that would have been the smart thing to do, not take a flyer on Kentucky. And I don't know. It seemed like they're almost like rushing to fix something. They know it's broken and they don't know what they're doing. It's like, you know, whoever's steering the ship at NASCAR, I don't know who it is anymore. I mean, obviously Brian France is the CEO, but, you know, we hear all these other names. I mean, Mike Helton seemingly disappeared. He used to be the, you know, out front guy. You never even see him anymore. So I don't know who's making the decisions. And I think they need to, you know, go back to their old ways and not be so quick to change, you know, react. And you know what I mean? They used to be more deliberate, not such reactionary decisions. And I think that's where they should probably start looking at that again. So we'll see. I mean,
go ahead.
You know, it should be good. As Psychic pointed out, I do remember when they had this test, and they had like two Hendrick cars, two Gibbs cars. I know Truex Jr. was there. I remember reading it, and there was, you know, probably 6, 8, 10 guys. You know, I know there were Fords. I think was Joey Logano was there. So you're going to see certain guys have a slight edge because they've run the package. And they've run it with, you know, more than just 2-3 cars on the track. I'm just hoping that, you know, most teams got a good enough handle on it that they don't put a car out there that's out of control and causing, you know, additional problems due to the lack of testing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And track time.
Well, and, you know, we were talking about a pre-show, and I said, you can totally expect lap 25, the dun-dun-dun, competition caution.
You probably already got that into books.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to it, and as I say, I think it's going to be interesting. Stu Grant, who is the general manager for, you know, Goodyear Racing, the racing division, essentially said, he's kind of pointed back at NASCAR saying, you know what, back in April we ran the test. We were all here. It was a tire test. Let's not forget. It was a two-day test. First day was a tire test. Second day was an open test. And we talked about it. And you know what? Geez, NASCAR, kind of they backed away from the idea that, yeah, we're not going to do anything different for the All-Star race, which would have still been 4 weeks ahead in May. So don't worry. We're not going to launch the package. The idea being, or the implication being, that had they gone to the package they were looking at then in April to kick up by May, that in fact by now they would have the proper grip tire. So this could be a whole situation of, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. We're all pointing at each other as the guy that, oh, he did it wrong. Oh, he didn't tell me. Oh, he did it wrong and he did it wrong. And it goes to your point, Brandon, of, you know, reactionary rather than causary action. We are reactionary to inaction, or we are reactionary to not making progress. You know, at the end of the day, I guess a lot of our listeners who might be old school would continue to hang on to the conspiracy idea that, in fact, hey, listen, NASCAR is a fix, man. It's WWE. This is entertainment. It's not about necessarily competition. It's about television. It's about ratings. It's about making money. It really isn't about what it used to be. And so, you know, I guess I sat back hoping that we were going to have something different for Kentucky. I'm not saying we won't, and I'm hopeful we'll get an event in. From what little bit, it was just less than an hour of practice that went on today. I did see some interesting things. There were some comments put up by several drivers today who actually did run the race and described their experience in terms of the new era package. Austin Dillon, the track's real slick. New package, a little bit loose. We fixed some things. Should be interesting. That's Austin Dillon's take, essentially, after he, you know, amazingly walked away from a wreck last week at a super speedway track. You know, Keselowski, two-time winner. You know, a car has less grip. Easiest way to explain it, someone who's never driven this kind of racing, hey, have you driven on snow? Because that's the kind of conditions where, you know, driving with a little bit of snow on the road, you got to be a little more cognizant. You got a little less grip in the back. Hey, what did Kyle Busch have to say? This package is certainly going to bring the drivers and the better cars to the forefront. That's what we've been looking for. And I think you devalue the sport and the drivers when you get all the cars so equal and on top of each other that anybody can do it. So I'm holding out my hope that, in fact, what we're going to get at Kentucky, assuming it's dry and we're good to go tomorrow, is going to be a new dimension. I don't know if we'll ever win back old fans. I think we need to stop, absolutely stop the bleeding, which is right now a hemorrhage for NASCAR, of losing new fans. So that's my take on it. Tell you what, let's see. Everybody. We're going to, I'll tell you what, Brandon, we're going to switch up gears because I want to bring in Fred Health Mike here shortly. Tell us about our guy, Ryan Villopoto, because I know you followed his whole career. And
well,
I think it was something of a stunning decision that you shared last night. And of course, I pulled up a link and I put it on the outline. Ryan Villopoto is retired, dude, 26 years old. The guy's a legend, though, huh? How about?
Yeah, he's actually, I think he's 27. I think he's actually had a birthday, so I do believe he's 27. And it's a surprise, but not a surprise. And I'll say this by saying, at the beginning of last year, or this year, I guess, he announced he was going to go run one season at the World MXGP level at Motocross GP. And
right, that's Europe?
That was going to be
Is that
his,
right, dude? That would
it's
be
Europe,
the Europe.
It's it's actually all over the place. It goes everywhere.
Is it,
you know,
America too, though?
I mean, believe there is one event. I believe they do have one event.
So it was worldwide.
Later.
It was worldwide.
Yeah.
He was racing world. I got you.
Right. And he was going to finish his career there, and he had a bad accident, broke his tailbone. Original reports was a few weeks out. Yeah. A few weeks, he said, if I give it, it'll calm down. Well, it's still not calmed down. And he just yesterday made the announcement. He's retired. He's not racing anymore. And, you know, it caught some by surprise because some thought that, you know, given he only ran, I believe he only ran four events, which was eight motos, that, you know, maybe he'd give it one more year, maybe he'd come back to America and do one more here. The guy set some pretty impressive stats. He's won 9 national championships. He won 4 straight Monster Energy Supercross titles. Nobody's ever done 4 in a row besides him. He won 3 straight 250 class outdoor series motocross titles, and he won 2 at the 450 level over the course of his career. He's like top 5 all time in 450 class wins in Supercross, which is, you know, Supercross is the indoor where they build the track in a football stadium, and that's more the that's more popular because as a spectator you can see the whole thing. At a motocross outdoor event, it's kind of like a road course. You only can see part of the track at a time because it's all spread out and sprawling. So, you know, the Supercross is much more popular because you can buy a ticket, sit in a stadium and watch, and it's awesome. I don't think there's a bad seat in the house to watch a Supercross race.
Nope, I can attest to that one.
Yeah. I saw the inaugural one at Giant Stadium in last year, and, it was pretty awesome. Anyway, so Ryan's calling it a career, which is, you know, kind of a shame. I mean, it was nice to have him out there. I'll tell you what, motocross, Supercross and motocross this year is kind of taking a hit. 2 reasons. One, Ryan Villopoto was racing in Europe and, you know, in other parts of the country, the world. And 2, James Stewart's been out due to a very excessive penalty for doping. I mean, a 16-month suspension for failing to, file paperwork on a prescription medication. You know, the FIM, which is the world level of motorcycle racing, needs their head examined because that was just a ridiculous penalty. But we will see James Stewart back at least. He's already announced he's ready to go in January when Supercross starts. Yeah, actually, we're going to see him before that. They're going to have they always have a $1 million Monster Energy Cup race in October out in Las Vegas. He'll be at that, and they just last year started a straight line rhythm where they just race a half a mile of jumps and bumps in a straight line. It was actually kind of cool to watch last year, and he'll be running at that again. He's the defending champion of that event, so we'll get a little boost back into it. You know, we'll miss Ryan. Ryan was, you know, he was kind of like the, you know, the rabbit everybody was chasing. You know, everybody was always trying to keep up with Ryan Villopoto, so he's calling it a career.
Yeah, 27 years old. Boy, nice work if you can get it. And he got it. And at 27 years young, and I can say that amongst all of us because compared to us, no matter who we mentioned, I think he is young. That's outstanding. So, you know, hey, we bid him a fond adieu. And as you say, maybe we'll see him pop up in media. Now, on the flip side, you know, I guess I'll go to the other nth degree here, and you know, it would be wrong to not recognize, I guess, a pioneer. We heard this week earlier via his own podcast on Sirius XM Radio that longtime racer, pioneer, and legend Buddy Baker is stepping away from what has been an extended career postseason out of NASCAR into the broadcasting booth. He will be stepping away for health reasons. It would appear that the cause is, of course, the dreaded and awful cancer. And, you know, I don't know. I stand and I salute this guy. One of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers, International Motorsports Hall of Fame inductee in 1995. you know, a member of obviously the media, National Motor Sports Press Association Hall of Fame inductee, a very, very good man, ties to the sport from when it was in genesis. First race, you know, I mean, my goodness, 1959, nobody almost remembers, you know, especially the, quote, modern fan or the new fan that Brian Franz is trying to bring in and indoctrinate. You know, he won the big ones, you know, the 1980 Daytona 500. I mean, you know, ran with guys that whose names already appear in the record books. And so we tip our hat here from Frat House Sports and Race Trim Motorsports Hour to Buddy Baker. And it doesn't mean, certainly it's the end for Buddy, but as I posted up in my own particular share, you know, sadly, you know, life is a series of casting off. And it might appear that Buddy Baker is getting set to do so. So we wish him a lot of courage and we wish him a lot of good, but we offer him certainly our deepest respect and a lot of gratitude as NASCAR fans for everything that he did for the sport, everything he brought to the sport, all the people he attracted to the sport, despite the fact that maybe what we see today as the product of the sport is not necessarily what we'd all like. So there's one right there. All right, so let's do this. Let's open up the door and let's bring in our own Frat House Mike. I don't, you know, I'm suffering from what Brandon suffered from yesterday, and that is, you know, I'm running through the board here, and I was hoping to find the NHRA. There it is. I want to hit this up. Bring in there.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, buddy.
Great.
Buddy.
You know what's nice about that is that we actually did get to hear that last Sunday versus getting to actually hear any real stock car racing.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it was in prime time.
At least most of us, yes.
It was in prime time, too.
And it was live. It was live.
Yeah, we actually saw it in real time. And it wasn't like at 2 in the morning where we, you know, now lately are getting used to seeing NASCAR.
Well, you know, listen, ESPN2 is doing that to us a lot. Earlier on in the season, I mean, we know that one, as they would be telling us, oh, yeah, well, the broadcast will be coming to you at 10. Yeah, it's coming to us at 12:30, you know. So, but that wasn't NHRA's fault. That was, you know,
well,
the broadcast.
Hey, you know, women's softball is just so freaking important to ESPN.
Uh-oh. You're going to disenfranchise all of our women's softball fans out there. I know we've got a load of them that listen in on the Race Trim Motorsports Hour.
Sorry.
Well, at least that's what I've been told. At least that's what I've been told. I don't know. Hey guys, you know, last week we were out at Norwalk. This week we're heading to the Route 66 Raceway in Chicago. It'll be 2 weeks before we get another NHRA after that. But guess what? Think about this one for a moment. There are only 5 seasonal events after this weekend for NHRA. You know, what's really crazy when you start thinking about it, NHRA, and you kind of try to overlay it to NASCAR, is that while the season runs pretty much the same time frame, in fact, NHRA actually starts before NASCAR, there are so many fewer events in NHRA than there are in NASCAR. There are only 6 regular season events now. And so now it really is starting to get to be crunch time for some of our, well, particularly those on the leaderboard and anybody below the line, because you got to be in the top 10 in order to get into the countdown, which will begin on September 18th out down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's our 4-wide, if I'm not mistaken. That's the Z-Max Dragway. That's a 4-wide, right, Brandon?
Actually, the second one.
Yeah, do they go 4?
They only run 2. No, they only do the 4-wide, the one early in the year. They go to the same facility, the same track, but they only use 2 lanes in the countdown. There's only, what, 6 events in the countdown or 7?
There are only 6. There's only six.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew it was a lot less than NASCAR's.
So we've only got, excuse me, including this weekend, we've only got 12 events. But we did get to see some good drag racing last weekend. And I'll go from the bottom up for a moment real quick. Over in Pro Stock last weekend, out in Ohio, lo and behold, son of a gun, it's coming down between Greg Anderson and my gal. I mean, that's what it's coming down to. Erica Ender Stevens, there it is. Greg Anderson, I believe this is his third Wally for the year. You got to kind of give it to the guy. I'm not real thrilled with him because, of course, yeah, well, I know. I'm rooting for Erica, of course, but, you know, you got to kind of give it to this guy. This guy was out of drag racing altogether for about a year. I think it was, a year ago, Brennan? And then
a heart surgery issue, and I believe I read after this season he has to have another surgery on his heart.
Oh,
so, yeah, his future beyond this year might be in question because he's getting up there in age and, you know, two surgeries in, a 3-4 year span on his heart? Yeah, I don't know. But we'll, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack there.
No, absolutely.
That's
not
important to think about if him and Eric are going for this championship.
Well, I
got
to tell you something. You got to give it to Greg Anderson and everything he has done this year. Went up against Drew Skillman, of course, Erica Andrews' teammate over there, and beat Skillman. I was thrilled to see Skillman get to the final. That was awesome. Unfortunately, Greg Anderson, I believe, pulls his third Wally this year. We'll be taking a look at the leaderboard here momentarily. Funny car. Fast Jack goes up against Courtney. Courtney needed this one badly. Boy, did she really need this one, because there she was sitting on the 11. She's sitting on the 11 spot just below the line. And like I said, now watch, from this point forward into the NHRA season, it's going to become crunch time now. So as we go West Coast, and that's where we're going, because consider for a moment, we're going to be heading out to the West Coast Tour. Chicago is the beginning of it. 2 weeks after that, we're going to Brandymere. We're going to Sonoma after that. We're going to Seattle. We're ending up in at Brainerd. So this is the last of the West Coast swing, and we're beginning it right now with Chicago. Boy, I got to tell you, Courtney really needed this one. And, you know, it was great to see her get into the final because she has not done well, terrifically. She's done great in the first round, but really hasn't done well in subsequent rounds thereafter so far this entire season. There she is up against Fast Jack. Of course, we got the whole proc connection with the JFR thing. You got Courtney there. You know, anybody who's a JFR fan, you're rooting for Courtney. I'll tell you, it was a good race, was it not, Brandon?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that I think was the best final of all of them because it was close. Fast Jack comes out on top, picks himself up. I believe that's his second Wally for the year.
Though, it put her 1 point out of that line that you were talking about to make the countdown. So she did make, even though she didn't win the event, she did make up a lot of points, which is good.
She did. She's currently right now still 5 points behind Alexis.
Oh, five, okay.
Yeah, she's 5 points behind Alexis. She is still in the 11th spot, and she's below the line. So she's 311 points behind the leader, Matt Hagen. We'll talk about the leaderboard here momentarily in just 1 second. Yeah, I'll go through it real fast because it's all DSR. Now, over in Top Fuel, I was kind of torn a little bit torn on this final because we had Doug Galetta going up against Antron Brown. Antron Brown, of course, is a DSR, and I don't mind Antron, but, you know, he's DSR, and frankly, I'm getting sick, sore, and tired of watching DSR win all this darn season. So Doug Galetta did actually beat Antron. I was kind of pleased to see it a little bit, just because, like I said, I'm getting a little bit tired of DSR taking everything. So where's the leaderboard looking at this point right now? Well, Greg Anderson and Erica Enders, as I'm pointing out, this is a back-and-forth, give-and-take. I'll tell you, it's fun to watch, just if for no other reason than these two. 60 points now separating Greg and Erica, and, you know, it could just as easily go Erica's way this weekend. And Erica will be up by 60 because that's kind of the way it's been going all year long. Greg Anderson, number one. Erica Enders, number two. I think both of them have three Wallys for the season. In funny car, Hagen, Caps, Beckman, all DSRs. Worsham, four. John Forrest is five. Courtney, as I pointed out, down there at 11, sitting under the line. Oh, as far as Pro Stock, too, a little bit surprising. Jonathan Gray and V. Gaines, both under the line right now. So we're going to start paying attention to the line as we go forward. That line is going to be important. 11 and 12, Jonathan Gray, V. Gaines. Jonathan Gray right now only 4 points from the number 10 spot with against Roger Brogdon. Top Fuel, Antoine Brown, Tony Schumacher, both DSRs. There you go again. Doug Coletta coming in there at third. Brittany is in there right now holding solid at eight. So Leah Pritchett, who's become one of our new favorites over here at Frat House Sports, 13. She's below the line, three below the line. Clay Milliken, surprisingly, sitting there at number 10 right now. Good for him. There you go. That's what's happening in NHRA. And, we've got stuff going on this weekend. Route 66 Raceway in Chicago.
But it doesn't sound like Leah Pritchett is doing what she should be doing, dude.
Well, now that okay, yeah, I guess. Well, that depends. Listen, let's take a look at this real quick. Let me just see here. She's about less than 120 points behind. We still have six events, so it's not impossible to make that up. Not in NHRA.
Well,
it's not impossible.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
it's 20 points around. So
I was
going to.
Yeah, thank
goes
you.
Goes all the
exactly.
way out. She could make up 80 in one.
She could
she
actually
could win.
Exactly.
Boy, yeah. Oh boy, that, well, geez, Louise, I mean, well, if that's the case, then, I mean, we really do need to play, you know, that for Leah. Come on, Leah, go ahead, you know, because that might be Mission Impossible, because if I get you, Brandon, she's going to have to, like, you know, really step it up and, like, what? I mean, it's like a Kyle Busch. She's going to have to be.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. She's in that same area.
She's going to have to show it every week. So.
And you know what's funny is I'm looking at the top 10 right now and I'm thinking, okay, well, if she gets up there in the top 10, who would I want her to knock out of here, out of the top 10 in order to take their place? And I'm saying, you know something? That J.R. Todd can go bye-bye to me. That's what J.R. Todd can go bye-bye.
I'm an excellent driver.
It's just my personal opinion.
All right, there you have it, folks. We brought you up to date. NHRA, we've talked a
get
little
fun.
Bit of
some over there.
Super, mentioned some Supermoto with the Brian Ryan Villopota retirement. Obviously, we've chatted ad nauseum NASCAR last week and what we haven't seen so far this week. You know, I'm just looking back here in the garage to see if I can find our sidekick. I'm not sure where our sidekick got to, but I know that we're... Next stop on board.
Is he doing
NASCAR.
A clutch patch?
Yeah, I think, well, you know what it is? Yeah, there's a problem. He's got something, I think his sidekick has something stuck in his rear. But what we're going to do.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that could be trouble.
Wow.
So what we're going to do, though, is we are going to bring him in, and we're going to ask sidekick to give us a sidekick pick. Because this is one of those, I mean... Sort of like last week's sidekick. I mean, is it throw darts at a dartboard? Can we go by last year? Can we go by the last 4 years of averages here at Kentucky? Give us some guidance. Give us some idea. How does fantasy shape up as we go to Quaker State 400, hopefully tomorrow, without umbrellas or an outboard motor?
Oops. Sidekick. There you are.
To beat the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying I'm the man. Woo!
A little slow, right. But he's the man.
This downboard.
Well, downboard. I got you. You're gonna blame it on
downboard. No, soundboard. It's the soundboard.
Oh, okay.
He's got a problem. He's got a problem with downforce. Right. That's why they're
downforce
stuck in the rear.
Would be a problem. Downforce would absolutely. I could see that being more appropriately sidekick's problem. To be perfectly honest with you.
Yep. So, I just want to reassure everyone. Just because we left Daytona and we've gone to Kentucky that we still can't get vehicles into the catch fence. Because if you watch the truck race the other night, Ben Kennedy, number 11 truck, up in the catch fence at Kentucky.
It's an outrage.
So we could still, and NASCAR has reassured me that the catch fence has been repaired. So,
really? You got that personally?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just checking. I don't want us to be reporting anything that would be,
quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure it was accurate.
Well, they put it in my time feed.
I got you.
That the fence was repaired, and they showed a picture. And the funny thing is, it says, don't worry, we fixed the fence, and they show the picture.
Sidekick, don't worry. You okay, go ahead.
Anyway, so this week.
Breaking news.
Yep, breaking news. There's been another crash in the Tour de France.
No, is that
now
right?
Going to you, Brian Williams.
Is that oh.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
I think he was on one of the bikes, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Hey, I'm on your side.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, I'm going to say this is another week of throw darts at a dartboard. While we have 4 years of historical data of who's run well versus some other teams, we've got a new rules package. We've got everything rained out this week. Not a whole lot of practice time in. So I'm going to go with it's kind of a stick with who you got kind of roster. Plus, as many of you know, drivers have gotten really expensive now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So your top three are pretty much locked. You're sticking with them guys through the end. So anyway, without further ado, the show roster is going to be same as it was last week. No surprise there. We're going to run with Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Casey Mears, and, I forgot what the guy's name is. Number 35, whoever you are.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, is that Moffitt? Brett Moffitt?
No, it's not Brett Moffitt. I can't think
Cole
of
Witt?
Cole, why did I?
What?
I was going to say, it's Cole Witt. It's Cole Witt, it's Moffitt, or it's Gilliland. You know, those are
it is Witt.
Frat House Sports friend, Cole Witt, and you don't remember? That's a violation.
That's front row.
Get some facts and come back and see me.
That's a violation.
Exactly. That's it. He's never going to want to see
me. Oh, no. Frat House Sports friend, Cole Witt. Yeah, really. I don't know. That doesn't deserve that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one of these. Oh, nothing's working.
Exactly. See?
Freaking no.
See, it's even happening.
Stinking
beautiful hair.
Stinking soundboard is not working.
You guys were all mocking me because
Brandon, we need another BTR rant. Let's go.
Oh, good.
I already did that last night. I did that last night.
Anyway, oh my goodness, this is
I'm going with the number
off the rails,
that
yeah,
guy
always,
in the four
always,
car,
always.
Whatever his name is, and yeah. whatever manufacturer.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
Yeah. Is anybody listening to this? I mean, seriously, I don't think anybody's got all, they're just stuck on Cole Witt at this point. Who did you pick?
I'm going with that guy in the four and whatever manufacturer.
Oh, no.
It's the bow tie one. What's his name? Hurricane Schwartz, for those in the Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, I'm going with Harvick and Chevy for the downers.
I'm
not going to call them downers. They're just the downers.
No, they're just
anymore.
Downers. Yeah.
They suck. They're still, I think we're still ranked higher than Fred House Mike's team, though.
Uh-oh. And, you can stop your complaining. Your freaking downers are in the chase.
I know.
I know. Listen to him. I know.
I know. Changed, but we still
put him, I'll put him down every week. I know.
Well, it's like, remember Tony? Remember Tony? Oh, my team sucks. We're miserable. We're horrible. Comes out, gets a win, and gets in the chase. After he talked trash about the team.
Holy smokes.
I'm just taking the cue off smoke, man.
Uh-huh.
Now, for the spring rubber in the rear got her loose, we're going with the number 4, the number 88, the number 78, the number 13, and the number 46 of Michael Annette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the number 4, the Bloomin' Onion, Kevin Harvick, and Chevy. I'm going with the number 4 for my Eat My Dust pick. Though I do like, in your our little chat window, Mike, you were talking about Jeff Gordon potentially being your Eat My Dust pick. You
yep.
know what? I kind of like that pick, but I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Well, I said I was going to. Now, it was past tense. Almost, I said. Almost made him
well,
my Eat. I'm not going with him, but.
You going with Cole Whit?
No, I'm not going with Cole Whit. Despite the fact he's our frat house sports friend. No, I'm not going with Cole Whit.
All right. Well, I'll give you my pick.
This show is hit the crash test.
Oh, my goodness.
They're picking up bicycle riders now.
They're strewn across the... They're strewn everywhere. Bicycle riders are everywhere.
All right, crew chief Brandon, go ahead.
We will now pause for station identification. This is NUTS.
All right. Yeah, we had to do that by contractual obligation. Go ahead, Brandon. Who do you like?
All right. Real quick, I got Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, Earnhardt Jr., David Reagan, and Casey Mears. Going with Chevrolet, and my winner and Eat My Dust pick, Martin Truex Jr.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, you got it written there. Frat House Mike got it
yep,
down.
I got it. All right, so I'm only made one change to my roster, but it's a big one because I went through somebody on I've never picked up before. I'm going to go Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex. I'm going to go Austin Dillon, and I'm going to go David Reagan. And my winner for tomorrow night will be Kyle Busch.
Ooh.
Are you crazy?
Nope.
I think
obviously, we've got to do a better job.
I think Austin Dillon could win this.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you right now, I say look for Austin Dillon to have a top five. I think he's going to come back from last week. I think that the guy's going to come out on purpose and try to show everybody what his measure is. And I think coming off of that from last week, a lot of people would probably be a little bit intimidated, perhaps a little bit nervous. We're going to find out what Austin Dillon's made of this week. I believe what you're going to find out is you're going to find out he's going to become a true racer from this point forward.
I like the way you think. I am likewise picking for Eat My Dust a sophomore, but I'm going with Larson as my Eat My Dust pick. Now, I'll be honest, I actually backed away from it because we didn't get anything at Kentucky. So, in fact, he got it, he lucked into the pole position. And I believe he's going to experience, obviously, a place differential adjustment probably early. But because of the package that we're running, a Gordon, a Stewart, Kyle, Kurt Busch, Larson, certain drivers who actually are good wheelmen, the rookie Matt DiBenedetto, Casey Kane, anybody who can run dirt, anybody can run slop, anybody who can run short track stands a very good chance. So I actually was counting on Larson B somewhere in the top 10. He's starting from the pole. Keselowski has the two wins here, and Kyle and Kenseth for Joe Gibbs have the other two wins here, and we talked about shorts, you know, essentially a very small sample size. But Keselowski didn't have very good comments, and Joey Logano, "Ooh, don't hit me, ooh, he hit me," had absolutely deplorable comments about his short experience. So I'm not counting on either of those two guys necessarily to be dominant. Now, of course, I'll be surprised, and I will be proved wrong, and we will come back next week, and you can all throw cherry bombs at me and raspberries. But I think the wheelmen are going to show up this week. I understand drivers that like to have a looser car, and I can get McMurray, and I can get Menard, and I can get maybe Harvick. I can get some of that, but I think really, truly, your wheel man is going to come forward. So I'm gonna throw it to Larson. I actually wanted Bush, but Frat House Mike, I'll concede to you there because okay, you picked him first. But I think that's who you're going to see. I think it's going to be somebody that knows how to drive the car. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and we are closing in on the end of it. And I am going to, you know, give a shout-out and a thanks to my co-pilot, you know, sidekick, our Ford Fusion, Piggly Wiggly Ford Fusion driver, and, of course, Brandon.
Goody's headache powder.
There you go, Goody's headache powder. I love that. And, of course, my crew chief, Brandon, always up on the box. And, of course, Frat House Mike coming in with us as our spotter on top of the board. Now, here's what we'll do. We'll run it down for you, folks. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. You want to get over, first of all, to Frat House Sports on Facebook and give us a like. Frat space House space Sports on Facebook. Give us a like. Look us up with the purple icon. And you can follow all of our broadcast schedule over there. But real quick and dirty going forward, on Monday we're going to have our all sports program with John Blaine and the Blaine crew. Stitches, that comes to you at 7 o'clock p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. On Tuesday nights, Frat House Mike joins along with one of three frat boys for the All-MLB program, Cleanup Hitters. That comes your way at 7 p.m. On Thursday night, we just had our 200th broadcast out. Outstanding, just outstanding stuff. We're going to take over the Philadelphia greater media market before you know it. So get on board and join with us on Thursday night, our Frat House Sports Show. All of our guys right here, plus guests, Thursday night coming to you, Blog Talk Radio, right here, Frat House Sports at 7 o'clock. And, of course, Saturday, tomorrow. Easy enough. Join us tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Frat House Mike is going to bring you a nice compilation of everything we do during the week here at Frat House Sports Radio Network, including some great guests, segments, and you're going to no doubt get a rant or two, an opinion or two. So please join us tomorrow, Frat House Saturday at 2 p.m. We'll be back to you next Sunday at our regular time, Sunday morning, 11 a.m., ahead of our next race, which will be out in Loudoun, New Hampshire. So that's it. Gentlemen, I've had so much fun. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy Xfinity if we get to it. And don't forget, kick the tires and let's hope we don't have too much more of that gall darn Kentucky rain down in Kentucky. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Frat House Mike on Frat House Saturday, 2 o'clock p.m. Don't you dare miss it.
Kentucky rain keeps pouring down. Here's another town that I go walking through with the rain in my shoes.